Okay, everybody, so today's daf is daf Lamed Hey, and we're holding about third down the Amid, where the Gemara begins, Rav Huna Bar Tachlifa Mishmei Derava Omar. To understand the next Gemara, we have to do a very brief introduction, reminding us what we said yesterday. Going down back on the Amid Beis, you'll recall halfway down the Amid, Omar Rav Huna Mashbien Oisei Shavua She'ene Bershusai. Anytime you have a shomer who is willing to go and pay and say, I'm not going to make a shvua and then be potter. I'm willing to go pay. For instance, Shem Chinam comes and says, where is the mafkid, says to Shem Chinam, where's my object, where's my behemoth, what happened to it? He said, I could have made a shvua that it was stolen, that it was lost, but I'm not going to. I'm going to go and pay you the full amount, whatever the appraised value is. It's all yours. So Rav Huna says, that sounds very, very nice, but we got to be a little bit nervous. What do we have to be nervous about? Gemara says, Chayshinan Shema Einav Nosanba. Maybe he liked that particular item, or he liked that particular animal, and he's willing to go and pay full dollar, whatever it's worth, and he wants to keep it for himself. And so therefore we say to him, you're nice, you want to go and pay, beautiful, but you have to make a special shvur, of Majbino, he says, Shavuah She'ena B'Shusai, that it's not, you don't have it, it's not in your issues. Okay, what Rav Huna said is very straightforward. Then the Gemara brought yesterday a fairly lengthy brisa, you remember, with four separate cases, two of the Reisha, two of the Sefer, dealing with a Mashkain. And the Gemara asked from the Sefer of the brisa, what the brisa says, that because you have over here a difference of opinion as to how much the Mashkain was worth, you know what? We're going to go and hand over the shvua to the mashkin holder. Who's the mashkin holder? The shoimer, or in this case, the malva. Because if we're going to have the loiva make a shvua, you know what's going to happen? The shvua is going to make a shvua that this item was worth kach v'kach, and then the malva is going to go and take out the mashkin, and he's going to show you, see, it's not true. I have it right here in front of me. The shvua that you made is false. And so therefore, we say, put the shvua on the malva rather than on the loiva. That's what it appeared to be in the brisa. And then the Gemara asked, I don't even understand this whole discussion. You're saying that the malva might take out the mashkin. According to Rav Huna, that he has to go and make the shvua she'ena b'shusai, he's never going to go and take out the mashkin because he made a shvua she'ena b'shusai. So why are you concerned that the malva may take out the mashkin and afterwards show? You see, the mashkin is worth two saloim, or it's worth a selo, it's worth a half a selo, in accordance with what we discussed yesterday.
What shvua is the malva making?
He doesn't own it.
He doesn't have possession of it. It's not his possession.
Okay. So that was the Gemara's kasha. So the Chayra have a raya against Rav Huna from the Braisa that we do not have the shvua she'ena b'shusai. And the Gemara gave three terutzim. The first terutz was a combination of Rava and Rav Yosef, starting on the third, fourth line from the top of Lamed Hey Amid Aleph, where they said it's talking about a situation where it was not necessary for him to make the Shavua She'en B'Shusai, because there were separate Edim Shenignava, it was stolen. So obviously it's not B'Shusai. So says Gemara, if that's the case, then what's the problem with the Loiva making a Shavua as to how much the Mashkin is worth, because the Malva doesn't have the Mashkin anyway. He's not going to be able to go and take it out and say, ah, Loiva, what are you talking about? Here's the Mashkin. You see that it's worth more than, or it's worth less than you were saying, or what have you. So would he have to be concerned? So Gemara said, because the Malva will go and hire the CIA and the FBI and the police to go and find it, and they'll find it. So therefore, but the case of Rav and Rav Yosef is talking about that he did not make the Shua. Rather, we just relied on the fact that there are Edim Shenigdava. Then we had a second terz of Abaya, and the Abaya said, Gzeira Shemiyitai. This was about 10 lines on the top of the Amud, here on Lamed Hey Amud Aleph. Abaya Oymer Gzeira Shemiyitai, and Vyoymar Loi Acher Shvua Mitzasiyah. What we're afraid is, Hitaka made, like Rav Huna said, a Shvua She'ena B'Shusai. Aye, so what's the problem with the loiva making a shvua now as to the value of the mashkin, that I'm concerned that the malva will take the mashkin out after that? Didn't you just say that the malva made a shvua she'ena b'shusai? Says Abaye, that's taka true. However, it's going to come pre-Pesach cleaning, and they're going to go up to the top shelf, and see whatever they can go and find in terms of chametz or whatever, and they're going to go and find that chayfetz that he put. That's like I put in a safe place. It was so safe. I forgot where it is. Oh, I found it. And now he's going to go and show it to the bezin. You see that this mashkin is worth different than the amount that the loiva said. And Rav Ashi said, we are misunderstanding the Braisa. The Braisa didn't mean to say that we take away the shvua from the loiva, we hand it over to the malva, because we're afraid that if the loiva makes the shvua, then the malva will take out the mashkin. What the Braisa really telling us is that you have two separate shvuas. What are the two separate shvuas? One shvua is made by the malva saying, I don't own the mashkin, it's einoy birishu, see? Oh, based on this, then we're mechaved the loiva, now you make your shvua, in which you're going to go and say the value of this item, and I don't have to worry about that the malva is going to go and take the item out and say, ha-ha, what are you talking about? Because he already made shvua from before, the shvua she'ena birishu say. So those were the three turutim, and now we're up to Rav Huna bar Tachlifa Mishmei de Rav Amar.
According to the other turutim, this lova then have he's the malva makes a kind of a shvua that ain't a brishusi.
Right.
What does the lova make a?
With that ma'ishava,
he tells us how much the mashkin was worth.
So there's always even according there's always two shvuas then, but it's just a question of timing. So the
Tamalva says the Pashto Lashon of the Braisa is that only one person makes the Shvua, and who's the person who makes the Shvua? It'll always be Misha Mashkin Etzlai. And who is that? That is the Malva. The Loiv is the one that is the Moedim and Mikzas, because the Loiv is the one that says, I don't owe you blank, I only owe you blank. So he's the Moedim and Mikzas. So normally he should make the Shvua. But the basis of his Shvua, what is his Shvua? It's not your normal case of a malva loiv, and he says it here. The halva was 100, he says, and the halva was only 50. Right, he's right. A mix this. The question is, how much was the mashkin worth?
Right.
So the Gemara is going to address that in another moment. That normally the loiv would be the one that would make the shvur to go and say the mashkin was worth much more than the malva is saying, and so therefore I owe much less. The problem, however, is, says the Braisa, that eventually the Malva may come up and say, hey, look, I found it, here it is. You're telling me that this silver cost, which is worth its weight in silver, has its 10 ounces, and therefore it's worth $100. Ah-ha-ha, I have it right in front of me, I'm going to put it down on the scale, and you're going to see that it's only worth 8 ounces. And so therefore, what you're trying to allocate value to this cost, you're misallocating because it's worth much less than you are saying, and therefore you owe me more. Because we don't want the loiva to look like a fool and to go and swear falsely, either intentionally or unintentionally, take away the shvua from him, place it on the malva, and now the malva has to make the shvua. The malva will not afterwards take out the item to show that he was wrong, obviously. So therefore that concern will go away. We only have one shvua. So then the Gemara said, but doesn't the malva have to make a shvua shayna b'shusi? And if that's the case, why do we have to take away the shvua from the loiva? Leave it with the loiva. Yes.
According to that Havamina, the malva would have made two shvuas. He would have said the value.
No, the loiva says the value.
No, but according to that, we say that the malva is saying ain't a b'shusi. He has to make that. But also, we initially were saying that the loiva would find himself in a compromised position, so we gave that shavua to the malva.
Correct.
So in that havamina, we're saying he's takes.
Yep. According to this havamina, what we're saying is the malva does not make a shavua she'ena b'shusi.
No.
That was the kasha that we asked yesterday.
Okay,
on Rav Huna.
Okay, right now.
Because
okay.
If he has to make a shavua she'ena b'shusi, why do I have to be concerned that the loiva will be compromised? He doesn't have it. He said ena b'shusi. So now we're up to, with everything we've discussed, will pave the way for the Gemara's Kasha right now. So Rav Huna bar Tachlif Mishmei de Rav Omar. We're about a third down the Amud, maybe 15 lines, 18 lines. Rav Huna bar Tachlif Mishmei de Rav Omar, Reisha Diseifa Kiyuftal Rav Huna. I'm going to ask now a real Shtarka Kasha Rav Huna from the Reisha Diseifa. What is the Reisha Diseifa? So now we don't have to look back at the Brayse because the Gemara quotes it word for word. Sela hilvisani, olav shtayim hayeshava. Valoy oimer loy ki ela sela hilvisicha, olav sela hayeshava. What is this story about over here? The sela hilvisani means that the loiva is speaking and he's telling the malva, you lent me a sela. However, I gave you a very valuable mashkin of two seloim. And so therefore, you owe me a seller. You lost the mashkin. Okay, fine. Selachti avisi pashati. Fine, no problem. I'm moichel you. But bottom line is, it was worth two seloyim. And so therefore, instead of my being chayv to pay you a seller, you owe me a seller because the mashkin is worth two seloyim. Valoy oyimin the malva says, come on, don't be ridiculous. Loy ki ela seller bisicha olav seller yeshava. The value of the mashkin was the same value as the amount of the halva. I gave you a seller because your mashkin was a seller. Unfortunately, I lost the mashkin, but fine. So seller for a seller, I don't owe you a nickel. Says the Braisi, the malv is potter from having to make any type of shvur or from having to make any payment because it's a koifer bakar. Frekdimar, the misa, the ravuna, if you hold ravuna that the malv always has to make a shvur she'ena b'shusi, oy bazoi, why don't we go and place upon him a gilgul shvur and say, Migu the mishtaba malv she'ena b'shusi, he has to make a shvur she'ena b'shusi, lishtaba nami a gilgul shvur, kama ho yeshav, anyway you're making a shvur according to ravuna. No, as he zok she'ena shvur, leitarayim a gilgul shvur. What's the concept of gilgul shvur? We all know from the parish of Soita, says, v'omra isha, amen, amen, that even though she is being accused of doing nefarious activities with Mr. Smith, oh, but if you make a shvur about Mr. Smith, then make a shvur really about Mr. Jones and Mr. McGillicuddy, and not only now, but when you were still at Arusa, or when she was still a Yavama, etc., etc., like we learned in Masechta Soita. So that being the case, since, according to Rav Huna, you have to make a shvur anyway to throw this in. Now, if you remember, we just said now we had three terutzim of yesterday, the first teretz of Rava, Rav Yosef, and then we had the teretz of Abaye, and then of Rav Ashi. According to Rava and Rav Yosef, there was no shvur she'ener b'shusai. Why? Because we had Edim, she'nisrafa, she'nignava, and so therefore, once you have Edim, it was not necessary for them to go in and say that, ah, shvur, it's not my rishus. Of course it's not a rishus. There are two Edim that say that it was stolen in the middle of the night by a burglar, and it's nishtu. So you don't have this kasha l'choira of Rav Huna bar Tachlifa. You only have the kasha according to the second and the third terutzim, that both according to Abaye and according to Rav Ashi. Abaye says, of course he makes the shvur Rav Huna she'ena b'shusai, but I still have the chashash that during pre-Pesach cleaning he's going to go and find it and say, oh, lo, if it's not true what you said that it's worth kach v'kach, it's only worth kach. And then Rav Ashi similarly said both of them make the shvur. Why? Why did they say in the Braisa that we take the shvur? We don't take the shvur away. So the question is a din kedima. Who makes the shvur first? But according to Rav Ashi, Avada the Malva makes the shvur. So therefore, the kasha that Rav Huna is asking now, not Rav Huna, Rav Huna Bach Tachlifa, the kasha that he is asking now on this, on Rav Huna, is not from Rav and Rav Yosef, it's only from Abaye and from Rav Ashi. If you look at the top toises, he says that Bikitsur, he says Migud Mishtaba, etc. Rabbi Lev Yosef Leiparach. There's no kasha according to them because he's not making the shvur she'ena b'shusi. There are Edim shenegneva. Ela Abaye v'Ravash. It's only according to Abaye v'Ravash. Fine. So getting back to our Gemara, L'Choyri has a good point. Why don't we go and make the Malva make a shvur, a Gilgul shvur? Kama Yeshava. Kama Ravash Mishma Amrita Lishma Tekam Derev Kahana. I repeated your kasha that you just asked in front of Kahana, to Omer Li, and he answered me, it's not a knockout kasha on Rav Huna. What was the kasha? Since he's making a shvur she'ena b'shusi anyway, let's put upon him the Gilgul shvur as how much kama mishal. So about a situation where the loiva trusts the malva. In other words, the malva is a very trustworthy individual. They're in Beis Din. Loiva says to the malva, No, where's my mashkin? The Malva says, unfortunately, it was stolen, it was lost, whatever. So, other people might say, go make a shvur, she'ena b'shusai. Says the Loiva to the Malva, I know you're ready for 50 years, I know you're an Erlich, I know you're trustworthy, I'm not nervous, I'm not, no, you don't have to make a shvur. Ah, so that being the case, he's not making that first shvur to megalgal all of shvur acheres, so therefore your kasha falls away. Frey Timura. Once you're telling me that the loiva trusts the malva, he's trustworthy and reliable and all the rest, and therefore he doesn't have to make the shvur, then why doesn't the loiva trust the malva when he says that this item, this mashkin is only worth a sela, not two siloim, and therefore I don't owe you a penny. What's the whole discussion here in the Brais? If the loiva trusts the malva. After the moral lekimli begave, he trusts him in terms of his trustworthiness, that he's an honest individual. But in terms of how much the mashkin is worth, after all, I, the loiva, own this mashkin for the last 50 years. I yarshin it for my great-great-great-grandfather, who was a Talmud of the Baal Shem, together with the Talmud of the Vilna Goyen. So I know how much this cost is worth. This is worth a lot of money. This Malveh, or this Shoimer, he's a trustworthy individual. But what does he know about the value of this cost? This cost is an antique. It's worth a lot of money. So once we're saying that we're talking about that the loiva trusts the malva, so presumably the malva trusts the loiva, and if the loiva says that this cost is worth $100, $200, one seller, two seller, why do we have to make shavuos? Why doesn't the malva believe the loiva when he says what the value was? After all, he's owned this for the last 50 years. The Tumalim Hamilai, he is not trustworthy. In the eyes of the malva, the loiva is not trustworthy. Frank Timar, Umaishna loiva the mehemin leila malva, Umaishna malva the mehemin leila loiva. What you've done is you've taken a brisa which doesn't say a word about this nemonis business, and now you've superimposed this nu ukimta, that the reason why it's not a kasha navuna is because the loiva trusts the malva, but the malva doesn't trust the loiva. Why does it work that way? Why don't you say they both trust each other, or they both don't trust each other? Says Timar, it's very simple. Loivim mekayim beibem malva tumas yishorim tanchem. Tumas yishorim, the tmimus, the erlichkeit of the yishorim, of those upright ones, of the straight ones, tanchem, that's going to lead them. Meaning that the fact that they happen to be a yashor, Hashem gives them a special bracha because of their tmimus, that he will lead them and he will give them ashirus. He will give them funds. However, malvim mekayim beibem loivim, the selef boidim yishadim. He says about the loiva, you know why this loiva has always been an oniva evyon? How come Hashem hasn't given him a bracha that he should also be wealthy? Because Hashem has seen that he is a boged. Boged literally means a traitor. But it doesn't mean that he's necessarily a traitor. We don't mean he's a traitor against the government or against the people or against his wife. We just mean a traitor in the sense that he's not a trustworthy individual. Selef means the crookedness of his ways. Yishadim throws him down and won't allow him to go and build up and become an Oisha. Yeah.
I don't know. That's like a very blanket statement saying anyone who's poor is not upright. I mean,
I agree with you 100%. What the Gemara is telling us is that the reason why Rav Kahana said that the Brais is talking about that the Loiva trusts the Malva, the Malva doesn't trust the Loiva. The Malva says about the Loiva, he's a nice guy. But obviously this fellow has no bracha, no siyata d'shmaya, because both of us went into the business at the same time. We both graduated from the same class. And he's just as smart as me, and he's just as nice looking as I am, and all the rest. How come I was matzliach? How come he wasn't matzliach? It must be because Hashem says you're a good guy, and I don't know what's going on behind the mind.
What do you mean? Take the Chafetz Chaim, who lived in abject poverty. Everyone would agree that this is the most upstanding person of his generation.
The story about the Chafetz Chaim, I didn't know him personally, but based on what people said about him, the stories, was that he owned a grocery store, and he was competing with another grocer in town, and that as soon as he made enough money on that day to support himself and his family, he closed up the grocery store. It could have been 10 o'clock in the morning or 12 midday, so that the other grocer would get all the panos, because everybody came to the Chofetz Chaim to give him panos. Once he had enough, he sold his three breads and four potatoes, whatever. Already I have enough. I'm going home. I'm going to continue learning. So therefore, he chose upon himself this type of lifestyle. On to the next Gemara. Hahu Gavra. The Av gets. So bottom line is, we started off with a kasha from Rav Huna Bar Tachlifa on Rav Huna. And the Gemara said, no. What was the whole kasha based on? That since he's making a shmua anyway, Sheinu B'Shusai, you have a Gilgal shmua situation. So the Gemara said, but he didn't make the Sheinu B'Shusai shmua because the loiva maminoi, and therefore it wasn't necessary. So we end for the kasha. Now the Gemara goes into a real life story. Who gavad the afkit kipi gabe chavre, a person who left a pikodin of kipi. Rashi said kipi are nizamim. Nizamim literally mean nose rings. He left rings with his chavre as a pikodin. Omalei. And now the date of maturity of the pikodin comes and goes, and he says, havli kipi, please give me back my rings. Omalei lo yadana hecha esvinu. I can't find them. I checked all up and down, back and forth. I don't know where they are. So what's the din now? Also the comment of Nachman, Amalei, kol lo yadana pshiusihi. If a person says, I don't know where they are, I mean, that's the minimum that a shomer is supposed to do, in keeping and safekeeping, and know where they are. If he has no idea where they are, so it's like, ain't pshia gdolim izu, that's the biggest negligence. You don't know where it is. So you have to go and pay. Zilshlim. However, lo yishilim, he did not pay. Why didn't he pay? From the Gemara later on, it seems that he didn't have any money to pay. So Ozer of Nachman, Agde la padne minei. What he did was, he allowed for a seizure of that person's real estate, and he took away his house, and he handed it over to the mafkid, to the original owner of the kipi. L'soif, eventually, ishtakach kipi. Baruch Hashem, Pesach comes once a year, you have to go and clean the house from top to bottom, bottom to top. They found the kipi! They found the kipi. Okay, and guess what happens? A yakar. And in the interim, the kipi have gone up in price. They've gone up in price so much that they are worth more than the apadna that was seized to go and pay off the mafkid. And therefore, the baal, the person who owned the house previously, wants to get his house back. And so, forget, he found the kipi, and he wants to keep the kipi, because the kipi are now more valuable, and as a result, he is going to profit, if you will, from his pshia, by the fact that he handed over the apadna, and he didn't hand it over, the fact that the apadna was extracted from him, and now he has the kipi, so he says, okay, you keep the house, I keep the kipi, and shalom ayisrael. Rav Nachman, no, hadra kipi l'marayu, hadra apadna l'mara, we're going to go and reverse the whole thing, give back the kipi to the original kipi owner, he's going to get the benefit of the appreciation, and you'll get back your house. I mean, after all, you deserve to get your house because it was yours all along. I was sitting there in front of Nachman, and we in the yeshiva, that's man, we were learning perek hamafkid, just like we're learning today. The Amri lay, and I told him to Rav Nachman, Rebbe, I don't understand. Didn't we learn in our Mishnah, Shilen v'leirotz v'shova, what's the din? He gets the benefit of the kefil. Let's go back to the Mishnah just for a short moment. Remember on Lamed Gimel Amid Beis, we learned that a mafket is a chaveir beheima oy kelim, v'nignevu oy she'ovdu. What could the shoimer chinim have said? There was no pshia involved. There was geneva veda. I'm potter. I'm prepared to make a shvua, but I'm not going to make a shvua. I'm going to be a guter mensch. I'm going to be a boy scout. Shilam, I'm going to pay you off, you the mafkid, because after all, you're out of pocket, you behem a kelim. I'm paying you. I'm not going to exempt myself from the shvua. Shari omru, etc. What happens after that? Nimtza ganav, we find the ganav. He has to pay the kefil and the dalet vehei. To whom? Not to the original owner, but now to the shoimer, because the shoimer said, I already was mesalik, I already took care of the original owner's loss, I paid him, so now it's as if the benefits of the behemoth and kelim belong to me, and now if there's a kefil, a dollar of the hay, it goes to me. That's what we learned in the Mishnah. So now our Gemara says, Rav Rova asked Rav Nachman, isn't this a parallel situation? What's the parallel situation? We have here a shoimer. The shoimer, unfortunately, was poishea. He says, I don't know where it is. You know what? I'm going to go and pay. He didn't have any money to pay. So Rav Nachman had to go and seize the property and hand it over. Okay, but it's a shilem situation. So now, just like had it been a geneva situation, then the kefil would have been paid to the shoimer. Why? Because the shoimer has already taken care of the keren by paying off the original mafkid. So now when we found the kipi, and the kipi has appreciated in value, why don't we go and say, we're not going to go and give the kefil to the shoimer, because there was no ganav, but we're going to give the appreciation to the shoimer, and we're going to appreciate the fact that he paid for the kipi by handing over his apadna, so let him go and keep that appreciated kipi.
It wasn't handed over, it was seized.
Yeah, he messed
that's
up.
That's the Gemara's teretz. But you understand at least on the superficially surface. What the Havamin on the surface. Thank you. We understand on the surface what the kasha was. We have a situation where the guy was shilaim. So just like it says in the Mishnah, he's going to get the benefit of any appreciation in the form of the kefil or dalavay. In our case, you should get the appreciation that the market value went up. That was Rav's kasha that he asked from Nachman. Says Rava, and he didn't even bother answering my kasha. But you know, upon further thought, the shaper of Adloya Hadali. Afterwards, I thought about it, he was right. Why? My timer. Possibly Atrachela Beidina. Atrachela Beidina. Case of our mission is the person is Taka Guta Mensch, and what he says is, I know what the Loch is, I've learned Perika Mafkit, I've learned Parshas Mishpatim with Rashi in Chumash, I know all the rules and regulations. Since I'm a Shemachinam, I'm only Chayiv Mipshia, I'm Potter B'Gneva Aveda, I could make a Shmuah that I was not Poshea, I was not Shalech Boyad, I didn't touch it, Gunish, and therefore I would be Potter, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to be a Shilam, I'm going to go and pay you. And here's the amount. How much was your behemah kalim? $500. Here's $500. I'm paying you. Oh, nice guy. Says the mission. Now, if we find the ganav, the ganav pays the kefil dollar behay to the shomer, who is the nice guy. But says our gemara, our case of the person who owned, who was the shomer of the kipi, he wasn't the nice guy. He didn't hand over any money. We had to go and stop into Bezin, and he had to go and say, well, I'm not sure, what do I know, you know, blah, 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 blah.
And he wasn't even, wasn't stolen, he was Poshea.
Exactly, he was Poshea. And the Bezin
foreclosure.
And it would have been nice for him to go and say, I was Poshea, and therefore here's a check, and here's the amount, I can't pay you now, I'll pay you in installments, nah, nah, nah. Rav Nachman had to go and seize the property from him,
and
presumably in a drachta, mit a drachta, mit a shuma, mit a ganze meisa. So if you're matriach bezdin, you don't deserve to get any brownie points or any fringe benefits out of this. Now when we find the original kipi, and the kipi has gone up in price, don't get any benefit from your activities for the way you reacted to this whole situation. The benefit is going to go to the original owner. We give back the kipi, we give back the apan. So it makes a lot of sense, and it's a very good tert. And now says the Gemara, Lememra, the Sover of Nachman, the Shuma Hodar. Apparently, from this story that Nachman said, give back the property and give back the kipi, apparently holds it Shuma's Hodar. We had this Gemara already a couple of weeks ago. What means Shuma? Shuma means any time that you have to go and seize somebody else's property to go and pay off a loan, a typical Malva Loiva. Malva lent money to Loiva. Loiva says, sorry, I don't have any cash. Fine. We're going to locate one of your properties of real estate. The Bezin finds a property, they seize it, and now we have to figure out how much it's worth. And we go and figure out, guess what? Dollar to dollar, it's worth exactly the same amount as the original one. Although it was $100, the house is worth $100. Shalom al Yisrael, he gets the house, and we're done. However, there's a shaila, what happens if subsequently the loiv is able to get the cash together? Can he redeem his property? Does he have the right of redemption? And as we'll see in a moment, in fact, there were two halachas at the time. The fact that Rav Nachman says, now that we found the kipi, we give back the house, and we give back the kipi. Would you say that Rav Nachman holds that? No. Shani hasim the shuma v'toyesavim. To have a keep in the yikara. Under normal circumstances, it could be Rav Nachman holds that once the loiva pays by the bezdin seizing his property and finding out that the property is worth the same amount that they held for, so then there's no need to go and redo it in 6 months from now or a year from now when the loiva coughs up the funds, when he comes up with the funds. Sorry, your right of redemption has ended, it's a final sale, and now the property belongs to the malva. That's what he could hold. Why over here did he say, give back the apadna? Shani hasam the shuma b'toyesavim. The whole thing was a mistake ab initio, from the outset. To kohavi, kipi meikar, because the kipi were there. He just didn't know where. Eventually they found it. It was under the carpet, under the mattress, and they found it. Yeah, it had fallen down. So it was takapshia, but the kipi was there all along. So that they did the shuma was, if you will, premature. Had we waited until Pesach, we would have found the kipi, and it wouldn't have been necessary to do the whole shuma. So, to the mishnah, shuma toys. Well, but what is the din taka of the shuma? Like we said, there were two minhagim, if you will. Amri nehedoi, shuma hoder ad treisi yarchi shata. That you have a period of 12 months for the loyvet to redeem his property by coming up with the cash. If he comes up with the cash within 12 months, he can get his property back and give the money to the malva. Because after all, the malva didn't extend the loan to get the property, he extended the loan to give him money. Now he gets the money back when done. But you only have 12 months. Amemer says, I happen to be a Nerdoyan, Svili, and I disagree with what you have just said now, the names of Nerdoy, because I hold Svili, even 25 years later, if the loiva comes up for the money, he can get his property back. And the Hilchas Alochatak is, what's the reason why? Not me ikaradin, Mamishim Shinemet, says the Apostle, Sisa Yashavatayim. Be a good mensch. You know, that's similar to the concept of Lathnim Mishur Sadin. You don't have to, but this would be the proper thing to do. Because why should you, Malva, take away his house? He's been living there for the last 50 years. Unfortunately, he couldn't pay his debts, but now he's able to pay it. Give him back his house. So, Basisa Yashavatayim.
The whole Adrachta and everything else.
Well, we're going to talk about the Adrachta and the Yomid Beis. So now, says our Gemara, did Rav Nachman subscribe to this Shuma Hadar? It could be, but I don't have a raya from that story because that story was a Shuma Betoyes, not your normal Shuma situation. Okay, now, says the Gemara, we're going to have a series of hypothetical cases. All pretty straightforward. Pshita. Shomalei lebal choyv, v'ozol iyu v'shomalei lebal choyv didei. Hominelei loy odif at migava di osis minei. What is this all about? We have over here three people, not just two people, the malva and the loiva. We have a loiva and a malva who is also a loiva, and then we have the final malva. What do you mean? Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Reuven borrowed $100 from Shimon. Okay, now it comes maturity date. Unfortunately, he cannot pay. So what does Shimon do? Goes to Bezin, and Bezin does their achrasta, adrachta, shuma, the whole business. And we take away a property from Reuven, and we hand it over to Shimon, because unfortunately Reuven wasn't able to pay. So now Shimon owns the property, and now Reuven is off the hook. Now Shimon, in turn, what does he do? He also needs some funds, and he borrows money from Levi. Eventually, he cannot pay on his debt. So what happens now? So Shimon has to cough up the property that was originally Reuven's, and now he has to hold on to, now he gives it to Levi. So now you have Reuven was the original loive. Shimon was loives or malve slash loive. He was malve vis-a-vis Reuven. But after that, he himself borrowed funds from Levi. He wasn't able to pay. So now Reuven's former property, which went to Shimon temporarily, Shimon handed it over to Levi.
Yeah? It's a Shimon Reb Nosson situation.
It's similar to that. I might be Shlosh then a Shimon Reb Nosson. Similar to that. Okay, so what happens now? Reuven Baruch Hashem hit the lottery, won the lottery, or Baruch Hashem, he did well in business, and now he's able to go and get his property back. He goes to Shimon, and Shimon says, Emily, I don't have your property. No, Levi took it already, you know, a year ago. So now Reuven wants to go to Levi and get that property back. Does he? Can he? Levi says, Reuven, I never met you. I don't know who you are. Go, gizintait, I have nothing to do with you. So says he, more pshita, shomulei lebal choyv. If initially Reuven's property, they did a shuma, and they handed it over to the Balchayv to Shimon. The Ozel Iyu v'shomel Balchayv didei, and then eventually Shimon handed it over to Levi. Amrin Lei, we say to Levi, Loi Odif at migaver de osis mine. You have no greater rights than the seller who sold it to you. It's like Gemara says elsewhere, Ma mocha Reuven l'sheni kol zchusha tova liyodai. Marvin said Reuven l'sheni. Ma mocha Rishon l'sheni kol zchusha or moicha l'koyne l'lekech kol zchusha tova liyodai. So what does Levi purchase from Shimon, or didn't purchase, but what did he receive as a result of the Shuma? Whatever rights Shimon had to this property.
And
as well as the pertinent liabilities attached there too. And what was the liability?
This is about redemption.
Exactly. And so therefore, just like Reuven could have redeemed it from Shimon, he can now redeem it from Levi. Right. So Gemara said, that's a double portion to, that's well understood. Then why is it well understood? Because presumably, Levi knew that the reason why he's getting it is not because he bought it. He's getting it because of the fact that Shimon was not able to go and pay on the chayv. And presumably he knows that Shimon has the right of redemption. So now when Reuven comes and says, I'm going to use Shimon's right of redemption to get it back, this is not going to be a shock to him. He knew that he was getting into a possible redemption situation.
It's like any loan that a Baal Chov has on his properties. So it's the same thing. It's a liability that travels with the property.
It's a lien on the property. Very good. So therefore you have to go and give the property back to Reuven. Now, says Yimah, what happens if instead Zavna Ort of Yavim Matana? In other words, again, in our situation of Reuven and Shimon, Reuven couldn't pay on his chayv. Shimon seized the property from Reuven, and then subsequently says, "But I don't need Shimon's house, or I don't need these fields. I'm not in real estate anyway." And what does he do? He goes and sells it in turn, or he's moirish it, gives it birusha, or he gives it matana to Levi, to somebody else. And now Reuven comes up with the cash later on, and he wants to get it back from Shimon. Shimon says, "I don't have it anymore. I sold it already a year ago to Levi." Okay, so he promptly goes over to Levi. "I want my property back." When Levi bought the property, he wasn't interested in the fact that Reuven owes money to Shimon. That was not his concern. His concern was, is this a good piece of property? Is this a good house? Is it good real estate? Is it how's the boiler? How's the roof? How's the field? And that's what he was interested in. So therefore, now when Reuven wants to get it back from Levi, Levi can go and say, "Go fly a kite. I didn't buy it for your right of redemption. I didn't buy it because the property was seized to pay off your chayv. I bought it as, a normal, regular sale. Therefore, I want to keep it for myself."
Say it has a call. It's like any other piece of property.
He has a liability. That's a lien on it. Why can he push him off?
What Agamor is telling us is that right of redemption was personal to the original Baal Chayv, and it does not
travel with the property.
It would only travel in the property if he himself, Levi, received it through a similar type of mechanism, because he had to seize the property. So what would have happened if Shimon would have come to Levi and say, "I have the money, and I'm now going to pay you off"? Shuma hodali oilam, and therefore he can go and pay him off. So when Levi got it through this seizure, he knew that it might be re-seized or redeemed. So now instead of Shimon redeeming it, Reuven redeemed it, because Reuven is just Shimon is just the boy koyach, he's the success.
The title company would take off the lien.
Oh. But in the case of the Zovna, Arta, Yavin, Matana, right, he said, "I'm not interested in right to redemption."
It interrupts the chain of lien.
Exactly. So, says Yomar, that would be different. Now, let's talk about now an Isha and her husband. Shomololi Isha, Vin Siva. You have now a woman that had lent money, and the person didn't pay back, and now she was able to seize somebody's property, and now she's holding on to it. Vin Siva, she got married. Or it could be the other way around. When she was still single, she needed money, and she was not able to pay back on her loan, so somebody seized her property. Then even now she got married. Umesa, and both in the first case, or in the second case, Nebuch, she passed away. So now the question is, going back to the first case, Shomuloli Isha of Insiva, she received the property, and she got married, and now after she married, and after she passed away, the original, that Baal Ziyarish, but the original loiv, the original borrower, who was not, in other words, the original loiv that was not able to go and pay, he lost his property.
He comes to the widower, the almon, and he says, I want my property back.
So that's in the first case. And in the second case, it's just the opposite. What's just the opposite? They had taken away the property from the woman when she was still single. The husband never received it. But now that she died, he wants to get that property. And he says, "I'm willing to go and pay on that loan instead of her." She can no longer pay on the loan because she's the Olam Hameh. But if she would be around, she would be able to pay the loan and get it. I want to go and pay that and get it back. Says the Gemara, what's it in? He's considered to be like Lekeach. The famous halacha that we had back in Ksubas, how was he moitzmi al kuchais? After all, she sold her nechsemulun belonged to her. She had the keren. Okay, so the other person cannot get the payers until after the husband passes away. But when the husband passes away, why didn't he go and get now they carried in the payers. Special takana they made nusha because they were afraid about Eva, that the husband says, oh, you must not ain't hon be shachar, I got some ice. So So therefore, what would be the halacha in our case now? So now the Baal in the first case, where she shomulah leisha, where they gave her property. So now the shumaman, the person that originally gave the loan and borrowed and couldn't pay back the loiva, he gave the property to her. She seized it. What's the halacha? Loi meheder. He does not have to give it back.
He's a
baal zelokeach, and he's lekeach risha. He takes before anybody else. He says it's mine. However, madrinan lei, in the case of where they took a property away from the isha and she got married and then she died, he cannot go and get it back on her behalf. Rashi says because he's not the yoresh. If he'd be the yoresh, he'd say, well, just like my father, my wife, my mother had the right to go and redeem, I have the right to redeem. No, he's considered to be like a separate lekeach. He does not get the right of redemption on her property that she wasn't able to go and pay her. Now, a new case. Agve ihu b'choyvay. Now, what means agve ihu b'choyvay? This is going back on the case of we start again. We're not in this line of cases, but a regular case. A loiva, a malva comes to the loiva and says, the loiva, the maturity date is hit, you owe me $100, where's the $100? Loiva says, ainly. So what are we going to do now? So the loiva has just learned this last daf, and he says to himself, I know what's going to happen. If the malva takes me to Bezin, the Bezin is going to say, you don't have any money, we're going to issue a right of seizure, and then there's going to be a public auction. What do I need this whole thing? Here, you have this piece of property, I give it to you. You don't need to make a formal shuma, you don't need to spend time with lawyers and judges and time and effort and headaches. I give you agvi ibuchayta.
Cut to the chase.
Exactly. Here's the piece of property. And now, Baruch Hashem, 6 months later, the person's been matzliach, he makes money, he wants to take the property back. We just said, shuma hadal oilam. What about this circumstance? Pligi barav achab radin, chad amma hadra, chad amma loy hadra. Mandi amma loy hadra, sover haizvinim ma'alihi.
Right.
Domidat danafshi agve. He wasn't matriach the bezim, he just said it on his own. I don't have the $100, but I give you the property. And the property is worth $100, so it's as if there was a mecher. So he can't go, there's no right of redemption on a mecher. It was not a proper sale. Of course I could have gone through the whole process in Bezin and had lawyers and eshumim and drachtim and echraz. I didn't want this whole geschäft.
It more cool. This guy also, he just said, listen, I borrowed it.
Exactly. Shilim Rairotzi Lishava, like we have in the Mishnah.
Yeah, yeah.
He wants to be a nice guy. But the truth of the matter is, you think I want to give you away this piece of property, this piece of real estate? I've been using it, I've been living in it, I've been working it for years and years. I didn't want to give it. Kesufal's Busha, I didn't want this whole thing to become public after it was going to be in the Law Journal and it's going to be in the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal. What do I need it for? So that's why I said, here, take this property. But the truth of the matter is, I want it back. Shemohada. So it's machlokes now, Rav Acha v'Ravina. Okay, so that's the end of that shtickle. A machlokes. Now, umi emis ochu peiri. Meaning, we know, let's go back to the court system, where the person is going to now seize the property from the loiva, because the loiva cannot pay. So at some point he's going to get the actual keren. From what point can he already start eating the payrois of that property, assuming that he has access to the property? So we have now a three-way machloikis. They all basically hold that once the malv is going to get the property, just like he gets the keren, he's going to be able to eat the payrois. The question is, what's that starting date? Rabba omer mechim matcha adracht el yodeh, abaya omer eide bachsumba zochiloi, rabba omer mechim shlimu yemei achrasta. So what are these three periods of time? So if we just take a quick look at the Rashi, Adrachta, this is what you mentioned, Brother Shai, and I said we're going to get to Adrachta in the Amid Beis, so thank you for your patience. We're fourth line from the top, Adrachta. In other words, the Malv and the Loiva go to Bezdin, they hear all the tightness, and the Bezdin issues its Psak Din. The Malva wins, the Loiva loses, Loiva, you got to go and pay. The Loiva says, okay, now give me a chance, I'm going to try to get the funds together. If after 90 days the loiva has failed to pay, from that point on, bezin koisvan adrachta. What's an adrachta? Shtar psak din anechse loiva shibachol mokem shiyim tzeim mishaloi yikochem umoisim loy hashtar. they write out a special shtar adrachta. Today they would cause it
a foreclosure
or a warrant of seizure. You have, there's a property you want. At the moment they haven't identified it. What they've told them is, if you find a property, you can seize it for purposes of foreclosure. Didn't foreclose yet, but you have the right to go and seize the other guy's property.
Attach
the property. Garnish it, varnish it, tarnish it, varnish it. You can go and attach the property. Very good. So that from that moment that they write that shtar and they hand the shtar over, from that moment, if and when he is able to take a seize a property, even though the seizure is still going to take time, the foreclosure still take time, because we still have to do a public auction, as you'll see in a moment, but the payers are ready from that moment on. So if somebody else ate payers in the meantime, like the loive, the malve has a right to payers from that moment. However, Abaye says, Abaye is the famous Eidah Bachasum of Zochel Moed. We had this Abaye already a couple of times. That Miyoim says, Rashi Miyoim Shenechtem, Shtaru Adrachtem, it doesn't have a Bishle Boli Yodah. Right? The previous Rashi says, Moisim Leyashtar. When he gets that right of seizure, that warrant of seizure in his hands, that's the moment he gets the payers. Says Abaye, even if it took a couple of days until he got that Shtar, the Bezin said, let's give the Loiv another extension, come on in, blah, 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 blah. From the time that was signed, he has the right to the payers. Well, Rovin says, Mechi, show me Yimeachras. So what does that mean? Says Rashi, Abba Bishet Bo'o, Adrach Liyodoy, Fulim Motzen Lechosim Loiv Ad La'achar Zman. It took him a while. You know, we had to hire a whole bunch of detective agencies to title search to find out what does he own, what doesn't he own, what did he sell, what didn't he sell, blah, blah, blah. It took a while until he was able to actually, this seizure materialize. Ukishimotza, once he found the property, he couldn't just say, okay, I'm moving in tomorrow. Huskik lover the Bezin, you have to go to Bezin now. Umachrizin, that's the Lushan Achrasta. They make an announcement, Shieshkan Karkalimkar. Let's find, maybe there are other people that want to go and buy it, and the highest bidder, and then we'll get a lot of money, we'll be able to pay off not only this debt, but maybe other debt that this loiva has. So we open a public auction to the public in Amrim Erechim. The imbozer, the kibla b'yoisim imash shemua acherim. What happens if nobody else was willing to give the highest price except for this malva? The malva said, okay, the other guys are willing to pay $85, I'm willing to give you $100, and that will pay off the choyv, and therefore I'm going to grab the property. If he's willing to do that, after these days of achroza, how many days of achroza are there? How long this process takes? Until finally he gets actual possession of the property, the payers still remain with the life. So the two previous Mandi Amram say that he has entitlement to the payers already from before. Says Rabbi, no. When he gets the property in hand, the Meach Rast has ended. Nobody else bought the property at the public auction. Now we officially foreclose on the property for the benefit of the Malva. Now he gets the payers, but not earlier. So three-way machlekes. On to the next mission.
So the Hidracht is 90 days.
The Adrachta is 90 days after the Psak Din. In other words, Psak Din was given on January 1st that the Loiva owes the Malva $100. Pay. Okay, we give him 3 months of time to get the money together. So wait until February 1st and March 1st and April 1st. April 1st, 3 months have passed. He still hasn't paid. Okay, Loiva, looks like you're not paying. We hand over to the Malva a warrant of seizure that he has a right now to try to seize any property that he can identify. And he's going to be busy with this for the next week, month, 3 months, 6 months. Finally, I found the property. The property is North Dakota. I got it. I have the right to seize it. Okay, but you don't have a right to take it away yet. We're now going to come back to Bezin, and we're going to offer it public auction. There's a property in northern North Dakota, and this is the square, these are the meets and bounds, and you can speak to the brokers, and you can go down and visit the property. So a lot of people come and go. It's not worth more than $85. Says the Malva, but he owes me $100. I take it for $100 as if it's worth $100, and I'll get the property. And then the Bezin says, okay, you win, you are the highest bidder in the auction. That's the end of the Mei Achrasta. So now at this point, he can go.
So Rashi can be quite open-ended.
Well, no, Rashi says it's open-ended because we don't have the Gemara Erechin in front of us. But Rashi says, Masechta Erechin, Mefarish Kamiyam. Rashi, earlier on in the Masechta, when we had the same Gemara, said that the Mei Achrasta is typically 30 days. It could be that there are exceptions to the rule, but that's typically what it is. Yeah, we have this three way machlokes. It's Tezvav, but on the side says Yud Gimel. So that's very, very close to Tezvav. Put it Rashi Seir from there. Yud Gimel Amed Aleph. Yud Gimel Amed Aleph. You had the same three shittos over there of the Achrasta and the Adrachta. Who is this? Where is this? Mishnah Ravasi, Mukti, the Paroyim, Kanunya, the Hashinah, the Kanicha. She said, he the Mansur Shas told us in the Lalah. That was talking about Shtarak more generally. That's Beis, the Kamon Yutes, and Chof, and Lamed Hay. So we'll put Yutes. It's what to get the Yoda, Anicha, Chosu, the Abed, Peirois, the Koni, Amratanu, Noisna, Abitkois, the Yachia. Because they finish, maybe a Balchov, Shtak Suba, Ishum, or Ishumatza, Shtari Birurin. Okay, the good news is, or the bad news is, I don't see it exactly. However, remember Rashi saying that the Yemei Achraz is usually 30 days.
Okay.
I'll look it up for you, and we'll talk about it tomorrow. So, Zog the Gemara Viter. Can get a minute out. Maybe you have to sign them at base. Achrasta, Chatachta, Nikra, oh, he has a draft over here too. Because we should hear Dave, we should write Dave, Hodder, Asanavshi, Medina, Shtari Chaltosa, back on Tes Zayin on the days. The Gemara talked about Shtar Chaltosa and Komas Bezdin. The question is, what is referred to the Adrachta and to this back on that Mishnah which said that these are Shtoris of Bezdin. We said Chomas Bezdin, the Gemara said Chomas Bezdin, referring to Chaltosa the Adrachta. Okay, but I still don't find the Rashi in the 30 days, so I'm not going to waste all of your time like I have already, and we're getting right to it. So getting back to our Gemara now, Zok the Mishnah. Okay, very, very fascinating Mishnah, fascinating Gemara, all pretty straightforward. Person is going to use the benefit of what his standard of liability is vis-a-vis somebody else's standard of liability to be able to go and profit. So Zok the Mishnah. A soicher par mechaveira, a person was a soicher. V'yish'ilu li'achar, and now he was mashalit to somebody else. U'meisa kadarka, and this animal died. Now, a soicher, as you know, is already machloikis, whether it has the same din as a shem achinam, or a din of a shem esachar. Let's assume a soicher has the same din as a shem esachar. Shem esachar is chai b'gneva veda, but he's potter b'oinsen. One of the oinsen in the Torah says, by the shoel, or actually he talks about the shem esachar, if it was shvura or mesa. So a mesa kedarka is considered to be an ones. So if a socher rented an animal, he paid rent, or he paid lease for the animal, and then the animal died suddenly, mesa kedarka, it's an ones, and he is pot. However, a shoel who borrowed somebody's animal, and the animal died, then the shoel is chayiv. He's chayiv ba'oinsen. Ah, so now we're going to do what they call the fancy language an arbitrage over here. What is that? Asoicha para mechaveroi, someone rented the para, v'ish'il li'acha, and he was mashal it, he lent it to someone else. Umesa, and the animal unfortunately, kepaikit, it died. Mesa kedarka, like normal. It's important as mesa kedarka, because mesa machvos malacha, we said already before, a person is potter. But here it's talking about mesa kedarka, and your chayim bo'ins, and the shoyl is chayim. Okay, so now what happens? Yeshova HaSoicher, the original owner of the para comes on the scene and says to the Soicher, please give me back my para. The Soicher says, okay, give me a moment. He goes to the Shoyl. Shoyl, what happened to the para? The Shoyl says, unfortunately, it died. Uh-huh. So now the Soicher goes back to the original Bala para, and he says, Yeshova HaSoicher Shemes Kedarka. And now he's off the hook. He's chayv to make a shvua. It's a shvua, it's a shoymrim vis-a-vis the soicher. And what happened was meisa kedarka. It was an oinus. Soicher is potter.
He doesn't know how he's taking the word of the shoah.
Okay, that's because that's the way I presented it.
Yeah.
Let's assume that the soicha and the shoah were both present when the animal died. So he makes now a shvua shemesa kedaka. So now we're
bal of imo though.
The bal of imo is if the real owner. Yeah. And
the exemption doesn't extend to the soicha.
I'm sorry, it doesn't extend. Okay, anyway, so he makes a shvua shemesa kedaka. And as a result, the soicha will be off the hook, right? That's a double pashut. On the other hand, the Seichel says to Shoyl, I missed the Shoyl. You're Chayiv because Shoyl is Chayiv Be'ointzen. But you're not Chayiv to the original owner. You have nothing to do with the original owner. You only had to do with me. V'ashol Yishalom L'Seichel. So the Seichel could go and benefit. So in a sense, it's like a continuation of the previous Mishnah where we have that he was Shilein, a good guy. He did what he was supposed to.
And they found the Ganav.
Found the Ganav, and he gets the Kefil. Here too, the Seichel did what he was supposed to. I made a shvur, and the shvur was that Mesa Kedark, he's now totally exempt. So vis-a-vis the original owner, the Seicher doesn't owe a penny to him, but now he has gotten the rights of the owner vis-a-vis the Shoel. The Shoel now has to go and pay the Seicher, because the din of a Shoel is Yechai Boinzit. Yechai have to go and pay me, says the Tanakhama. That's where the Tanakhama holds back, the Shoel Yisham the Seicher. Rabbi Yossi is a little incensed about all of this. Rabbi Yossi, Kate said, "Aloy oitzes chayre beparos shel chaveri. This is not your para. This para belongs to the original owner. How can you go and play with his para and make money on it?"
He rented it.
Exactly, he rented it. So he's off the hook.
He paid for the use of the para.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely true. So let him go and deduct from the value of this para that died, or ask him for a refund for the 3 days of lease.
Okay.
Or give me another para instead. But in the meantime, vis-a-vis the value of this para, why should he get the entire value from the shoel? This para doesn't belong to him. He's just a temporary lessee. A temporary custodian. Now let him go and hand over, therefore, the shoel's payment to the original owner. We don't mean literally the part. The part is never dead, but the value of the part should be paid to the Baal. As far as I'm concerned, you can turn it off. That's up to you. Everybody else wants it on. Do you feel the heat or anything coming in?
That's right, I put on my sweater.
Okay.
No.
Shkoyach. Good. So taxa part of the Baal. So we have a very strong machlokes between Tanakama and Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says you're not going to allow the soicher to benefit from the shoel's standard of liability that he has to go and pay. Either he pays the shoel has to go and pay, not to him, to the soicher, he has to go and pay to the original balabas. But the Tanakhama disagrees, and the Tanakhama says no. So we're going to discuss this in some detail. Omli Rav Yidi Bar Avin Le Abai. Mechti. Soicher Memai Koni Lahai Parim. When, at what point in this whole situation was the soicher koni the parim? What do we mean that he's kind of the para? That he's now potter from having to go and pay to the original owner the value of the para. What is he kind of? Bishvur. When he makes the shvur that what? Shemesa kedarka. Now he's exempt because it's a oinis, he's potter. Finished. So from this point on, anything and everything having to do with the para, the original owner lost all rights. His right was a right to receive a shvur. I gave him a shvur. He's now out of the picture. Now, from this point on, I'm the balabus. Is the name Malay maskil the soicher? Why can't the maskil say to the soicher, maskil being the original owner, dal ant b'dal shvuah sech? I know min haTorah you had to go and give me a shvuah. I'm moichel the shvuah. I'm mavater the shvuah. I'm mavater in you. Please leave the scene. If I know m'shtein dina b'adishon, I'm going to go directly to the shoel. In other words, don't exempt yourself by making a shvuah. You're not the real baldin anymore because it was not under your auspices when this animal expired. It was in the hands of the shoel. So you get out of bezin. I'm going to deal directly with the shoel. Since the shoel is chai b'ointzin, the shoel will have to pay me. So therefore he's telling him, it's not fair what's going on over here. You were only koina the rights to the poor with your shvur. I don't want to hear any shvurs. Get out. On Malay. So the Gemara says, the socher can say back to the masker, me savris socher b'shvur the kanila. The whole basis of your question is that the soicher goes and gets the rights to this animal at the time of his shvur. No, that's not what happened. When does he get the rights? Mishas misu dekani. It's at the time that the animal died. As soon as the animal died, the soicher says to himself, I'm off the hook now for any lease payments, for any further responsibilities, for Gneva Vaveda, for Pshir, for whatever. The animal's dead. So at this point, I no longer owe anything to the original maskir, to the owner. Why do I have to make a shua? A shua can be lahav is da'at shua balabayis, that he should be appeased, and he shouldn't say, hey, there's been over here a grand robbery, they've stolen from me my parah. No, I didn't steal it. It died. Ah, come on, don't tell me it died. This animal has been living for 50 years now, it's a strong animal. Yeah, but after 50 years, animals also die. So, but who believes him? He'll make a shvua, that's lahav is da'at shua balabayis. He'll go home, his wife will say, no, Yankel, what happened? I lost the case, but I have to tell you, it's according to the Shulchan Aruch, it's according to the Rambam, it's according to the Mishnah and the Gemara. He made a shvur, nothing we can do about it. And we move on. So that's the explanation why the original owner, according to Tanakama, cannot cut through the bureaucracy and the shvurs and say, I'm going to go directly to the Shoyl, because the Soicha says, I own this animal now as a result, even before the shvur. As soon as it died, I'm now off the hook. I no longer owe anything to you. Now my relationship with the shoyl will be the deciding factor, but you're out of the picture. Reb Zeira. Now Reb Zeira is taking the case of our Mishnah and he's expanding upon it, and he's, if you will, dramatizing it. Reb Zeira, pa'omim shehabalim mishalmin kama porois l'soicha. You could have a theoretical possibility, according to the Tanakhama, that the Baal, the real owners, are going to have to pay porois to the soicher, the one that is renting the para from them. Hey Chidami, give me an example, what do you mean? So we're going to see from the Gemara shortly what Reb Zeira means in the case that he's going to posit that the original owner is going to owe four porois to the soicher. Two of them full value, and two of them only the lease period which is remaining under the original leases that the maskir does with the soicher. It's all quite straightforward. Now, remember, what was the case in our Mishnah? Our Mishnah had three people. You had the maskir, the owner. You had the soicher, the one that leased. And then you had the shoel that borrowed it from the soicher. To complicate matters slightly, Reb Zeira is talking about that, not that there was a third-party shoel, but that the maskir, the owner himself, became a shoel from the soicher. That's why it becomes a little bit more confusing, but the principles are exactly the same. So Reb Zeira, Pa'om Shabbat Mishalma Kama Paras Soicher. Hey Chidami, explain to me. Okay, Ogre Minei Meya Yoimi. First, the Soicher comes to the Maskir and they agree to a lease for 100 days for the par. And after a day or two, or perhaps even on the first day of the lease, the original Maskir comes to the Soicher and says, I just remembered I need the par which I leased to you. Can you do me a favor? I would like to go and borrow this para from you. It's really my para, but you now have all the rights to it as the lessee because I leased it to you. You leased it for 100 days. I know, obviously, you want it for some of that period of time. Maybe you can go do it with just 10 days, and I want to borrow from you this para for 90 days. Well, the shayla minei tishin yoimin. I lent it, I borrowed it from him now for 90 days. Now, let's stop right over here. What happens if at this point, within the 90-day period, within the 100-day period, the animal now expires? The animal is dead. So what happens now? So the owner goes to the soicher and says to the soicher, hey, where's my animal? Of course, he knows because he's the one that's the shoel. The soicher can go and say, well, I was there when the animal expired just like you, and I can make a shvua and I'm off the hook. Presumably you won't need to, because the shoel knows better than the soicher that the animal died. On the other hand, the soicher says to the shoel, but you owe me. What do you owe me? You owe me two animals. Two animals. Animal number one is because you are the shoel, and the shoel is chayiv bo'ainzin. So just like in our Mishnah, the soicher was benefiting and getting a benefit from, even though it wasn't his part, but since he was the soicher at the time, the shoel yishalim the soicher. Now the Baalim have to go and pay him a brand new animal, because the soicher is off the hook, but the shoel is chayiv, so the shoel would be chayiv to give him an animal. But in addition to that, I didn't use up the 10-day lease period, because you were still in the middle of your 90 days, I got 10 days left, and guess what? I didn't have the benefit of this part even for a minute. So therefore, according to Zayda, at this point in time, the Balabas, who's the maskir and who's also the shoel, would have to pay him two parts. One, permanent bara, because he is shoel is chay ba'inzin, and also the temporary part, meaning a 10-day period, he'll have to give him either give him his money back
or satisfy the lease.
Exactly, or to go and give him another part instead. Good. So that's, we cut it short. But now we're going to continue the story, and all we're going to do is really just double the facts. Again, hey, kadami ogu minei mei yoyme vada shayla minei tishin yoyme. After that, hoda ogri minei tamden yoyme, of the 90 days, now the soicher goes back to the shoyl and say, remember earlier today, I agreed to lend it back to you, but I just remembered I'm going to need this para for 80 days. I can't really just do it on a 10-day period. Hoda ogri minei tamden yoyme. See, now he does a back-to-back schiris, a new schiris number two. The 80 day. And then once again, the original owner comes back to him and says, I just remembered I need it for 70 days. Now the animal expired in the middle of the 70 days. So now, there wasn't just one she'ela and one schiris, like we had at the beginning of the equation over here, at the beginning of the story. There are now two she'elas, and there are two schiris. He's going to have to pay him one par or one para per she'ela, which means he has to give him two permanent ones. And he's going to have to also give him two temporary parois or pay him back, you know, for the two leases. The first lease for the 100 days and the second lease for the 80 days, because each time I'm entitled to the additional lease period of time. So he's going to have to give him two plus two. No, it's two permanent ones and two temporary ones for 20 days altogether. Here 10 days and here 10 days. Omli Rav Acha Midifti Ravina. So Rav Acha Midifti is kind of incensed. And he says, why? Mechti Chada Parihi, Ayla V'Afka. It's the same part that went in and out from Sheila to Schiris and Schiris to Sheila. Afka Mischiris V'Ayla Sheila. Initially, it was in the hands of the Soicher in the form of a Schiris, in the form of a lease. And then it left his hands and went as a she'ela to the maskir, to the original owner. And then afka mishe'ela, and then he took it back from the she'ela, v'ayla schiris. But we're still talking about the same one lousy parah. We're not talking about multiple parahs. He's only entitled to one parah. He's not entitled one plus one. One permanent parah plus one period of the schiris. Or actually, two for the schiris, but he means the 20 days. Amalei, umi isa lepara, be'ena denemalei hachi. You're right, if the parah was still standing around and still walking around, he could say it's the same parah that I leased, same parah that was lent, same that was leased, same that was lent. It makes a lot of sense. But the parah is dead now. So on each she'ela, you're going to have to go and pay for ointzim. And ma b'ravashi amar, ein lo yalein elish dei parahs. You only get back, you don't get four parahs, two plus two, you only get back two altogether, one plus one. Chodah de she'ela, because he, ma b'ravashi, holds just like the kasha that Rav Acha Midifti asked, Mechti Chodah Parahi, how can you go and pay him twice? So you only have to pay him once? Ein lo yalein elish dei parahs altogether. Chodah she'ela, it's taka true, he had multiple she'elas, but it was only one animal, multiple she'elas. So you have to only pay him once, alzi oinsin, for a permanent animal. Chodah de schiris, and he has to go and pay him, Chodah de schiris, meaning he has to pay him for
the
10-day period, or the 20-day period, whatever it is, altogether. What's the reason why? Because Shum She'ela Achasi, the word Shum is like the word Shem. When the name, the title of She'ela is one, even though it was two periods, but it's one animal, one She'ela. Shum Schiris Achasi. The She'ela Kani Legamri. The Schiris Ovid Bo Yimei Schirusei. He just has to do whatever Yimei Schiris is left on his leases. Madalei Lamar, then you give it back to the Mara. But nothing more, nothing less. It's not two plus two. It's maximum one plus one. With this, we conclude the Gemara for today.
Thank you.
Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Yisrael Zagi.